Hear the reading of selected verses from this account of the reforms carried out by King Hezekiah from 2 Chronicles chapter 29. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, King Hezekiah opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square, and he said to them, "Hear me, Levites. Now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us." In the name of our Lord. Our reading is from the account of King Hezekiah and his reforms. Hezekiah was from the royal line of King David. He was the 14th legitimate successor of David to sit upon David's throne in the city of Jerusalem. He ruled in the kingdom of Judah at the end of the 8th century and the beginning of the 7th century BC. That makes him a contemporary of the prophet Isaiah, among others. Hezekiah was one of the outstanding reforming kings of Judah, and for this reason, the account of what he did in his reign is connected with the festival of the Reformation. The Church of the Reformation has seen certain parallels between what Hezekiah did in his time and the movement that we call the Reformation of the 16th century. Hezekiah is one of only two kings after the time of King David who received the unqualified approval of the writer of the book of 2 Kings. His father and predecessor, King Ahaz, had made a hopeless mess of the religious situation in the kingdom of Judah. Hezekiah took on the task of cleaning up that mess, and part of that reforming task, as we heard in the reading, was quite literally a matter of removing rubbish physically from the temple in the city of Jerusalem. King Ahaz had allowed the situation to deteriorate to such an extent that the temple had fallen into disuse and had become filled with trash and litter. And what was true in a very physical way of the temple illustrated the larger picture of the sad state of affairs in the area of religion in the kingdom of Judah. The worship of the Lord God of Israel had been trashed, and faith in his promises had been undermined. Well, how had things become so utterly run down among these people who were called by God to be a holy people, set apart to bring blessing to all the nations of the earth through the promises of God which had been given to them? The little kingdom of Judah was experiencing difficult times in the 8th century BC. During Ahaz's reign, Judah came under attack from its two neighbors, the northern kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Syria, or Aram. The Arameans had succeeded in taking territory away from Ahaz, and the writer of 2 Chronicles gives us insight into the reasoning of King Ahaz in the chapter right before our reading. Ahaz reasoned in this way. He said, "Because the gods of the kings of Aram help them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me." Aram is a successful nation, he reasoned. If I follow the practices of the kings of Aram, then the same success will come to me. Follow the methods of the successful, and success will follow for you. Do what the people in the larger culture around you are doing to achieve success, even if it means compromising your religious heritage, and you will have success. Did it bother Ahaz at all that he had turned away from the promises and commands of the Lord God of Israel? Those promises had been handed down to Ahaz from his ancestor King David and extended back in time to the patriarchs 1,000 years before the time of David. Well, that question never really bothered the conscience of Ahaz. He had apparently learned to shut it out of his mind so completely that at some point he must not have heard it at all. And when a still greater model of success came along in the eyes of Ahaz, the mighty international superpower from Mesopotamia, the Assyrian Empire, we find Ahaz ready to switch his allegiance again and pattern everything he did in the area of religion after Assyrian models. The writer of the second book of Kings tells us how Ahaz meticulously copied the pattern of an Assyrian altar he had seen and had one built just like it in the city of Jerusalem to take the place of the temple of the Lord God of Israel and its altar. "Look at my altar," King Ahaz must have crowed. "I'm just like the big guys in my religious practices." The sacred ordinances and rites of the house of the Lord God of Israel were finally abandoned to the point that even the physical structure of the temple had become little more than a refuse dump. The writer of 2 Chronicles mentions that when Ahaz finally died, he was not buried in the tomb of the kings. By the time of his death, people must have recognized how radically he had changed the religious culture of his kingdom. Then along came Hezekiah, a man in whom God worked the miracle of faith. The biblical writer summarizes his reign with expressions like these: "Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the foreign worship places. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. He held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, and the Lord was with him." Early in his reign, Hezekiah issued his reforming edict. To those who were in charge of the temple, he simply said, "Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from the holy place." And the writer of Chronicles records how they went about their work and brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord. They sanctified the house of the Lord, and when their reforming work was done, the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. Hezekiah was a reformer. Maybe these things that happened 700 years before the birth of Christ seem remote and not so relevant to our experience, but in fact, they illustrate the concerns of the faithful in every generation. The temptation to conform to the ways of those around us who appear to be successful in matters of religion is as great now as it ever was. And when that temptation prevails, the worship of God, which is based upon his gracious promises, which come to us in the gospel in word and sacrament, will be abandoned just as certainly as the temple was abandoned and trashed in the days of apostate King Ahaz. And so, the ongoing work of the faithful is the same now as it was in the days of King Hezekiah. There is a saying that has come down to us from the time of the Reformation. In the Latin language, it goes, "Ecclesia semper reformanda est." The church must be reformed continually. And that work consists of two steps. Step one, carry out the trash. Step two, set the service of the Lord's house in order. The Christian gospel is our precious heritage. God has given his only begotten Son for our redemption. In his life and death and resurrection, he has won for us the victory over sin, death, the curse of the law, and the power of the devil. He gives us that victory and enables us to make it our own when and where his word is rightly taught and his sacraments are rightly administered. There, the Lord's house is set in order, and blessed are you in that gospel. Amen.